Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome back to the Statman Dave Football Podcast. This is episode 67. On today's episode, we're going to talk the news, including some moves in Germany and some moves in France. Then we're going to move on to a little bit of Premier League action. We're going to discuss Manchester City, Arsenal, race to the top four, blah, blah, blah. Then we're going to finish off with a little bit of a preview for the Man United game against Southampton this evening, where Mourinho pretty much should play an experimental side, as I would say. Anyway, let's do the news. So, first up, Maurizio Pochettino has told Sky Sports News that he'll be in the Premier League next season as the manager of Tottenham. Obviously, been heavily linked with moving to Inter Milan and, you know, taking the reins of the Sunning Chinese revolution over there. But no, he's pretty much said that he wants to stay at Tottenham. You know, he wants to be there for the new stadium and so forth. Why would you want to move it, you know, of all the talented young players that he's got at the moment? Harry Kane, Dele Alli, Eric Dier, amongst others. Moving to some other news, Bayern Munich apparently have asked for the availability of Paulinho, and the deal apparently will be completed in the next few days. Quite an interesting one. Paulinho at Tottenham under AVB was a very good player. Under Tim Sherwood was a very poor player. But the last month or so, or the last few months, you know, especially in international football, Paulinho has been killing it in terms of goals and assists. And it seems like some midfielders, you know, Paulinho's 28 now. It seems like some midfielders just get it right with their goal scoring, with their assisting. And it seems like that's where he's at right now. Could be a really good option for Bayern Munich if they want to, you know, have player midfielder Vidal, Thiago Alcantara, and of course Paulinho. That could give him a lot of bite and a lot of determination, which maybe is something that Ancelotti has thought about after the exit from the Champions League. Obviously, Rudy coming in defensive midfield, Paulinho would just complement that squad. In other moves about central midfielders going around Europe, Yuri Tilsman apparently has agreed a deal to join Monaco. The fee reported to be €25 million, which would be a cracking deal for Monaco. You think of Monaco this season, they play with two very industrious central midfielders, Bakayoko, Fabinho. Fabinho holds. Bakayoko is your shuttler, your aggressive presser, but also very good on the ball. So it could be a bit of an upgrade for that, those two players. You know, Monaco are going to play teams that will sit a little bit deeper as champions of Ligue 1, as I mentioned yesterday. They will be playing teams a little bit deeper, low blocks. So it could be quite an interesting one to bring in someone like Tilsman, change up their style, go for a more, like, you know, creative system from a little bit deeper in midfield. Obviously, you've got Silva and Lamar that will come inside, but maybe adding someone like Tilsman to join with those two very attacking players to create chances to the front two, it could be quite nice. It would pretty much be the old school 4-4-2 that Sir Alex Ferguson won Premier League title after Premier League title. You know, you're thinking of the Paul Scholes, Michael Carrick, that's pretty much Fabinho and Tilsman. So if they want to let Bakayoko go, he could potentially go. Or another way, Fabinho could go and Bakayoko could become the holder. But very good moves again from Monaco. It seems to just be the best club, one of the best clubs run in world football at the moment in terms of their ability to spend money on youthful players and, you know, really give them time and minutes to progress at the club. So it's an interesting one. Obviously, Mbappe hopefully stays as well. That has got a very tasty team for Monaco next season. Moving over to Gladbach, more specifically Borussia Mönchengladbach, they've signed on Lars Stindl until 2021. Lars Stindl, if you ever watched him, is a very, very good midfielder. Just below that, like, real good level. You know, he's a perfect player for, you know, the top, sort of, you know, top six Bundesliga side, a top six Premier League side, you know, even a top six, you know, Liga side. Really interesting player. He's technically very, very gifted. Sort of an attacking midfielder who's good at scoring goals. So he's been playing as a false nine in his career at Borussia Mönchengladbach, played as a 10, but is is a top talent, and it's, you know, cracking for Gladbach to keep him for till 2021, probably till the end of his career. In other news, Demirbay has chosen to play for Turkey over Germany, which is quite interesting considering Germany have called him up for their Confederation Cup squad. But yeah, apparently he's decided to stick with the Turkish national team. In other news, apparently Walter Mazzarri will be leaving Watford at the end of the season. That was a club statement that came out. Again, the managerial merry ground at Watford is going to be strong over the summer. It's just a strangely run club at the moment. Obviously, the Pizzonis own them, and you know, they own Granada, they own Udinese. So it's going to be like this for the next, you know, few years for Watford until they sort of, you know, could stabilise themselves as a Premier League club, or they go back down. And the money switches back to Udinese. But anyway, in some interesting news, the Dubai ruler, his highest, Sheikh Mohammed bin Rashid Al Maktoum. Hopefully I've nailed that. That was good. I reckon I nailed that, guys. Celebration day, fist pump, Ali G celebration. He's flicking it right now. Perfect stuff. But apparently he's issued the top three clubs in Dubai to merge. That's Al Shahab, Al Ali, a newly promoted Dubai club. They're going to call the new club Shabab Al Ahly Club, Dubai. And apparently it's because, you know, the lack of attendance and, you know, just the lack of people showing up to these games, and they want to merge these clubs together and sort of create a Dubai super club. Yeah, it's an interesting move, but it seems a little bit bent. You know, whatever they do in Dubai, it's not none of my, you know, none of my responsibility, or I'm not really interested in that type of thing. But it is quite interesting, one that sort of the ruler of Dubai has just gone, nah, we're going to merge three clubs in a city. You know, they could have big rivalries between them. It's just absolutely nuts. In other news, the stepfather of Real Madrid playmaker James Rodriguez, a target obviously for Manchester United, said that he would prefer the 25-year-old to be playing for a team, not being a substitute at Real Madrid. Sorry about that. That was WhatsApp. Who is talking to me right now? It's okay. It's the lads from Manchester. Anyway, back to the podcast. Big shout out to Gibbo, who is a listener of the show. He's probably sending something funny. He sent something funny today, which was Phil Jones. If you've not seen the tweet, Phil Jones had to do a tweet, obviously a sponsored tweet from Adidas, and he put, his tweet was, our new away shirt, let's keep fighting, hashtag here to create at Adidas Football at Man United. Which, if you probably do know, that isn't the Man United handle. The Man United handle is UTD, not Man United. So Phil Jones having a bit of a stinker, but that was pointed out by Gibbo. Great shout, Gibbo. He had some cracking banter in the chat today. Sorry about that little interlude. But anyway, in other news, there's some really interesting quotes are from Jordan Henderson on Luis Suarez, where basically he came out with some quotes today saying, I remember one game, his ankle was swollen, he couldn't get his boot on. He had to go for the size above of the boots from the kit man. He played on and scored an unbelievable free kick. It's really interesting when you do break these things down. You know, think of a Cristiano Ronaldo, the season that he carried United to the Champions League final in 2008-2009. He was pretty much playing with a bad ankle injury for that whole season, but played, scored goals, you know, broke loads of records. And it's interesting that Suarez and Ronaldo, you know, they will go through that pain barrier to play. Suarez, another one that did do that at Liverpool. It's quite interesting to see, you know, some players, you have the talent, some players, you have the work rate, other players will just play through anything to get on the pitch. Other players don't, like Phil Jones and Chris Smalling and potentially Luke Shaw. But anyway, guys, that's it for the news today. Let's talk about the Premier League soccer. So the first one we want to talk about is Man City versus West Brom. The game finished 3-1 to Manchester City in yesterday's race for the top four, which is really starting to heat up. You know, there's been some funny articles that are going around that if the scorelines do go a certain way, there could be a playoff for third position, there could be a playoff for fourth position, and for arguably, you know, the fifth position as well, which is quite interesting with Manchester City on 75 points, Liverpool on 73 points, Arsenal on 72 points. All have one game to play, and the goal differences are quite similar. City is the best on plus 36, Liverpool on plus 33, and Arsenal on plus 31. So given certain permutations, there could be some playoffs there for the top, for the fourth position and fourth, third position. Obviously, no one cares about the player for the fifth position. That's sort of like the wooden spoon. But in terms of Manchester City, they were very, very impressive against West Brom and looked like they've got their swagger back in a way. They went for a 4-3-3, but for me it looked a lot better. The 4-3-3 wasn't so aggressive. You know, Pep Guardiola does love this shape, the 3-2-5 in possession, you know, with the right back or the left back moving into central midfield and supporting Yaya Toure. But in fact, this game was pretty much, they stayed as a back four. They defended very well. Yaya Toure ran the absolute show. He completed more passes than any other player on the pitch. But more importantly, he just dictated. You know, involved in each of the three goals. The first goal, he played the forward pass to Aguero to flick it to De Bruyne, who crossed for Gabriel Jesus. The second goal, Had the ball deep in midfield, played it forward. The attackers combined ahead of him and scored again. And then, of course, the third goal, which was brilliant. Classic Yaya Toure. Yaya Toure in full flow is a fantastic player to watch. Played a 1-2 and just side-footed the ball home. But in terms of Yaya Toure, would I give him another deal if I was Pep Guardiola? Yes, I probably would. I think there's a massive hole in their side at defence and midfield that will be filled by William Carvalho, which is bad news for Manchester United, because I think he'd be absolutely perfect to sit with Paul Pogba. Very similar to with the Yaya Toure we're seeing now, who sits a bit deeper at defensive midfield, is William Carvalho. Very, very good on his left foot, but his skills are switching the play, hitting really flat passes. The Paul Scholes flat passes, is very physical. He's got the Yaya Toure physique, so, if he gets close to someone, he'll win the ball. He can, sort of like a David Silva type attacking midfielder comes and presses him, he'll just be able to spin him and move out. But that'll be a cracking signing for Manchester City. But it was Yaya Toure who just completely controlled the game. In terms of next season, get him a new deal. Can be the understudy potentially to Fabinho if he joins Man City, or of course William Carvalho. Other cracking performances as well. Kevin De Bruyne, who looks like he's got out of that lot of sort of, bad mid-season form. Obviously struggled a little bit after City got knocked out of the Champions League. It looked like his confidence was a little bit shot. Struggled for a few games, but it seems now that he's back in form, and in terms of the assists in the Premier League, he's on 16. That's three more than any other player. And again, assisted the first goal. What I liked about his performance against West Brom was his movement off the ball. That's where KDB is so deadly, when he moves off the ball into the spaces. He's really good at finding the space. Sort of like the Thomas Muller classic sort of Rand Deuter play, where they're very good at finding little pockets of space, and then they're running in behind, they're running wide. Obviously for the first goal, it was him pushing into the penalty area, but to a crossing position, running off the third man run. Yaya Toure fires the ball into Aguero, and then De Bruyne has made that running behind, and a great cross, best one of the best crosses in world football. If he can continue that form next season, a little bit, I'd like him to play ahead of Silva. I'd like Silva to play a bit deeper, play as almost the Xavi, Iniesta is KDB, and then whoever gets it, they get at the end. But his movement was cracking. And the goal that he scored, the second goal, was brilliant. Classic KDB, shot from the edge of the area with such whip, such venom, a perfect goal. But KDB, in the game against West Brom, created four chances. That was two more than any other player on the pitch. But he combined so well with Gabriel Jesus, who looks like a real good weapon in the City side, whether he's playing as a false nine through the middle or on the right-hand side, where he played against West Brom. What that means for City is, when Gabriel Jesus is in there, instead of them playing two wide players in Sterling and obviously Leroy Sané, they've got a goal scorer in there to link with Aguero and really to get those goals. He's been directly involved in 9 goals in his 9 Premier League games this season, which is pretty incredible. And he does give City that extra man in the box. Think of a 4-3-3. To have a balanced 4-3-3, you kind of need to have two sort of striker players, two players that are going to be capable of getting into the penalty area as well as your creator. So it's like a perfect blend for City if they want to play either Sterling or Sane, and then Aguero and Gabriel Jesus. How well he's just come into the Premier League is fantastic. The reports you hear from his days in Brazil were all about he worked really hard, very, very good at running the channels, and then had everything else in terms of his finishing, his touch and whatever. So again, City are going to be so dangerous with Kevin De Bruyne, with a defensive midfielder, and with Gabriel Jesus, and then with Vincent Kompany, who massively, what I forgot about Vincent Kompany from him being out for so long is how good he is on the ball. You talk about centre-halves that are good on the ball, not the players that play the safe passes, the players that hit those balls into midfield, the flat balls into midfield. Nicolas Schüle has made an absolute career out of it at Hoffenheim this season. Rio Ferdinand made a career out of it at Manchester United. Vincent Kompany has that. And it's, when he's in the side, they're 20 times better on the ball. And if they can keep him fit next season, like KDB with his form, they'll be, massive title contenders. I really feel that Chelsea might drop out next season in terms of the race. I feel like City, United with their signings, will be the guys that are pushing for the league. I said that this season and I was completely wrong, but I do believe that now with these two managers, with Mourinho and obviously Pep Guardiola, getting a bit of a feel for the side. And again, top performances, Yaya Toure, Vincent Kompany, and then KDB, and of course Gabriel Jesus. West Brom were West Brom, they're pretty much done. He's got quite a good consolation goal, Kanu Robson, firing the ball home from across from Neron. But it was a fairly just normal performance for West Brom. End of the season, they are absolutely safe. It was classic Tony Pulis, but what's Tony Pulis done this season? Has been brilliant. Absolutely changed the changed the form of West Brom, turned them into a very sound defender.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Unit. But moving on to the other game, Arsenal versus Sunderland. Another big game for Arsenal in their race to get into the top four. Arsenal have made it their mission in life in the last few seasons, getting into the top four. You know, they've done it, 19 times in a row? This will be the 20th time, which would be pretty incredible. They have a chance to do that, and it's going to be interesting. It really is going to be interesting. In terms of the game against Sunderland, they got there in the end. They're playing this 3-4-3 system that still, I think, tactically is pretty awful. I think there's massive spells, especially with Ramsey in defence, in central midfield, should we say, just a bit too high. And I feel there's real big gaps there that could be exploited for teams. But Ramsey played quite well. Xhaka played quite well, a little bit deeper in midfield. And of course, Alexis Sanchez, 9 shots on goal, scored twice, 23 goals and 10 assists for Arsenal in the Premier League this season. He's been their number one man. If they lose him this summer to someone, that is going to be huge. But the disappointing thing for Arsenal was a lot of empty seats at the Emirates in a game where they needed a bit of support from their players. And it is interesting that it's kind of massively changed at Arsenal right now, and even though they might win the FA Cup, probably time for Wenger to move on. But again, he's not said anything, so it sounds like he's going to be staying at the club. In terms of the games, though, let's just break down the games, of course, on Sunday, the 21st of May. I'm going to be at Slash Football, so make sure you tune into that on Facebook with the True Jordan, of course, Lawrence McKenna. It's going to be a lot of fun. So the games, Arsenal are playing Everton. We've got Liverpool against Middlesbrough. Manchester City away at Watford. Watford obviously losing their manager. It seems like City will win that game. Arsenal-Everton. That is a big, big game. Obviously, Everton in the Premier League, they are, you know, just pretty much done in seventh position. They can't catch up Manchester United because they've got one game, they're 4 points behind. Whether Koeman wants to upset Arsenal could be quite interesting. So that's going to be a tough one for Arsenal. The game against Watford for City, I think that's done. Middlesbrough is the only banana skin for Liverpool, which could be quite interesting. But again, if we go back to the table, if Liverpool do lose and Arsenal win, they'll go ahead of them. Similarly to if City lose and Arsenal and Liverpool win, they'll both go to top four. It's going to be brilliant. This last day is going to be cracking for just a race with the top four. Obviously, league title's done. Sixth position is locked down by Manchester United. Come on, the lads. Which will be a nice transition to the preview. Manchester United versus Southampton. The game means nothing for either club, really. Let's be honest with ourselves. Southampton with 45 points in 8th position, which will be a cracking finish for Pioli, who's been criticised by his home fans. Not enough attack intent, but defensively they've been good. Organisation, they've been really good. Romelu's been fantastic this season for them. Jay Rodriguez has had his moments. Gabbadini's had his moments. But it's going to be a game where basically United need to experiment. I want to see United playing a 4-4-2 diamond in goal. I want to see Joel Pereira, why not? Give him a chance. Darmian at right back, Tuanzebe and Bay. And then I want to see Mitchell. Dimitri Mitchell at left fullback. He's played there this season for the under 23s. He started off playing as a winger, as an attacker, but through the season moved to left back or left wing back for the reserves. In 19 games this season, he scored 5 goals and got 1 assist. What's more impressive though is his defensive work. He's won 83% of his tackles and made 32 interceptions. So it would be quite interesting to see him there in the Premier League at left back. You know, player coming through the United Academy from Manchester. I'm a massive advocate of those types of players coming through. We might as well give him the 90 minutes. Obviously, with Luke Shaw out injured, Why not? Do it. Absolutely do it. But also in an attacking sense, he's created 11 chances and also completed 26 dribbles for the under-23s. There's some niche stats for you guys right there. In terms of inter midfield, I want to see Michael Carrick at defensive midfield in this diamond. News coming out today that Michael Carrick will be given a new one-year deal. I just don't think it's right for Manchester United. I think Man United need to move on from Carrick and Rooney. It needs to be a mental thing. These players need to be pushed out. Not pushed out the dressing room. They've been fantastic servants for Manchester United. I can't thank them enough. But I think it's time where you need to move it on. You need to move the personalities on. Carrick and Rooney aren't going to be here in 2 years. We need to think about that. We need to think about Eric Bailly, Paul Pogba, Marcus Rashford, Anthony Martial. In 3 years' time, they need to be the leaders in the dressing room. Give them that right now. I'm not an advocate of giving Carrick a new deal. Not an advocate of keeping Wayne Rooney in the summer. I just think that there needs to be a replacement there. That replacement has been needed for a few seasons now. And I just think that United needs to go there, spend some money on a DM, a good DM, a powerful DM. Who would it be? Could be anyone. You know, there's so many players that would work that role. Fabinho, Wanyama, Eric Dier, amongst others. You know, there's so many out there. But I think it will be a physical central midfielder over someone like Julian Weigl, who would be good. Julian Weigl is a brilliant player, but he's not really a Mourinho player. Every time when I link players to Manchester United to fill that DM role, Julian Weigl is always the guy that gets mentioned, but he's just not going to come. Full stop, he won't. You know, he's, wherever he goes, it's going to be either Bayern Munich or, you know, Barcelona, not Mourinho's Manchester United, because that would just be a waste of his talents. Anyway, moving on to into central midfield, I'd go with Herrera, right central midfielder. And McTominay, came off the bench last week, played pretty well, completed 100% of his passes, had a shot on goal, interception, and a clearance. In terms of the under-23s this season, he's won 66% of his tackles and 52% of his aerial duels. In terms of what he is, he's a striker come box-to-box central midfielder. Warren Joyce's quotes are quite interesting about him. Scott just burst onto the scene. He could be a proper box-to-box aggressive midfielder. We just need to be mindful of that. He's a really good footballer, technically sound, with good skills, excellent in ball-keeping sessions, which is quite interesting. McTominay looked good when he came on in the Premier League, looked sound in possession, of course. The 100% pass accuracy shows that. The interesting thing as well is that apparently he's grown like 10 inches in the last year. He was apparently like 5'6 or something, and now he's 6'4, which is pretty incredible for a player to just absolutely spurt up. And he missed a lot of that season, in fact, with that as sort of growing pains injuries. What I'd like to see him there, I'd like to see the two young lads into the side. In terms of the front three, I'd like to see Mkhitaryan, Martial, and, of course, Marcus Rashford. Of course, rest Rashford at the weekend. Maybe rest, play the under-23s at the weekend. Why not? Doesn't really matter. That's, of course, against Crystal Palace. Last game of the season doesn't mean anything for United. But again, that's the team I want to see. A diamond. I want to see Mourinho experiment with these younger players. Joel Pereira, Mitchell, and of course McTominay. Anyway, guys, that's been that for the Statman Dave Football Podcast for today. Over and out, I'm going to have some lunch, maybe some avocado, maybe some eggs, and then for dinner I'm going to make a faux vegetable faux mushroom, actually mushroom faux, very nice actually. If you want, tweet me if you want the recipe and I'll send it back to you guys. Anyway, over and out, Statman Dave for today. Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.